Welcome to Sipping Success, the ultimate podcast for all things beverage and alcohol. We're here to quench your thirst for insights, analysis, and a splash of entertainment. Get ready to dive into the world of beverages with us. From the latest trends to in-depth discussions with industry leaders, we've got it all covered. Whether you're a connoisseur or a curious sipper, Sipping Success is your go-to guide. Join us as we uncork knowledge, raise a glass to innovation, and help you elevate your brand to new heights. So grab your favorite drink, sit back, and let's sip success together. Tune in to Sipping Success and drink in the wisdom. Cheers. This podcast is brought to you by Mushroom Media, the go-to digital media agency for all things marketing. From crafting captivating campaigns to decoding social media sorcery, Mushroom Media is here to empower your brand and help you scale. So whether you're brewing, distilling, or concocting the next big thing, Mushroom Media has a solution for you.
Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Casey Hawkinson, and welcome to another episode of the Sipping Success Podcast. We're very excited here this week. We're joined by Frank Borefsky. He is the CMO of Brand Vault 360. And if you're not familiar, they are an incubator accelerator agency that focuses on helping launch and scale beverage, candy, and snack type CPG products. What makes them special is they have launched and scaled a wide range of beverage products and CPG in the last 19 years. And they will help you build your entire business from just an idea or help you scale an existing brand that you might need help with expanding. So been looking forward to this conversation. I'm sure there's a lot of great stories to share, and welcome aboard, Frank.
Excellent, Casey. Thank you for having me on. And look forward to the podcast today.
Awesome. Well, hey, let's get started on just kind of allowing everybody to get a little bit familiar with you. Can you tell us, it's kind of a two-part question. Can you tell us a little bit about your history in your career? And then ultimately, what led you to where you're at now being the CMO of Brand Vault?
Absolutely. So I'll be 30 this year, actually, and my journey started when I was 19. So I was always passionate about the idea of working for myself, but I wasn't quite sure how to get there. So my initial job, what I would do is I was actually in sales. So I found the first like sales job I could find. I initially started working in auto dealerships. And from there, I started working in like RV and different sales positions from 19 to about 24. And then from there, I decided I wanted to really get into marketing. So I started really researching marketing, learning from different agencies. And from there, I started kind of freelancing. So from 24 to about 26, 27, I was basically freelancing, doing my own thing. I was doing sales coaching. I was also doing a range of other elements like sales consultation and just like training sales teams remotely. I was also doing like remote marketing, helping companies like implement marketing plans, things like that. So I have a pretty extensive background in sales and marketing. It's been my passion for the last 10 years or so. And kind of where it leads up to is in 2020, right when kind of COVID hit, I was doing some stuff in the CPG or CBD industry out in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And from there, we were growing hemp because it was just legalized in 2018. So I was doing that for about 2 years, helping some businesses up there with that. And I had an agency, a freelance agency, where I had some employees, things like that. And I met Warren, my business partner, in 2020, right when COVID hit, when I was living up north in Wisconsin on LinkedIn. And we both ended up liking what we were doing. So we kind of merged what we were both doing together. He had kind of an outsourced like staffing thing. I had more of like an agency thing in the U.S. We decided to merge what we were doing, and we formed Brand Vault 360, essentially. So from there, after 2020, in 2022, middle of 2022, we actually took over his brother's incubation arm, which kind of led us to where we are today with Brand Vault 360. So about 2 years ago, we took over that incubation arm, and now BrandVault 360 is, like you mentioned before, an accelerator and incubator for CPG brands. So that's a little bit about my story and history. And
yeah.
I would say altogether, I've probably sold and marketed probably $25 to $30 million worth of goods in the last 10 years. So well
Wow.
experienced in that space. Love it.
Well, that's great. That's great. And then just as a follow up there, are you able to share any particular stories? I guess, you know, if you are, like, be interested to know, like, if there's a particular story that stands out that is significant to you on the incubation side of your business, you know, taking a small brand or an idea and really seeing it through to fruition.
Yeah, I can give you one of two examples, but one example right now in the last 2 years since we've taken over that incubation arm, we've in the last 12 months launched a really great product with a couple of really great guys out of LA. It's called Pie Wine. It's a RTD wine drink, and it's basically two guys out in LA. One of them's a radio DJ, Kevin Klein. He hosts the K-Rock radio show out there. And then Josh Green, he's a investment banker, and they were actually on Shark Tank in October, but we started with them about 18 months ago, 16, 18 months ago. And we helped them with trade shows. We helped them with the branding. We helped them basically take their idea of, like, hey, we want to create a new drink in the wine space that pairs with pizza. And we brought that idea into reality. And now they're going to be launching nationwide here very shortly. So this very exciting project. And then another one we're working with is an energy drink product. Really great owner. One of the most down-to-earth people I've ever met. He's a really good guy. And that's basically an energy drink that'll be targeting Red Bull's on-premise sector in the space. So those two projects we're really excited about. And then we have a few others in the pipeline here as well, but can't quite mention those yet.
Sure. Really interesting stuff. And so it's interesting, your origins. I mean, you got your overall career kind of started in sales, doing various types of sales. And
yep.
It sounds like with the way things worked for you, a lot of the origins of your current venture were kind of formed pre and during COVID, if you will. So, you know, that alone is a big, you know, inflection point in a lot of people, you know, in all of our lives, right? So
right.
Can you share, you know, maybe going forward from that point, like any sort of changes or things that you've had to adapt to?
Yeah, I can definitely name a number of things. Like, so the first one that we had to adapt to was shifting from more of like a traditional like service agency. So like selling services versus selling solutions.
Wow.
So most agencies, like, they'll sell you like a Facebook ad program, or they'll sell you like social media, or they'll sell you any type of service. But what we try and shift, and what we shifted to, is we offered more of like the program element. So we wanted to basically, and this was the transition point, we downsized. We actually ended up moving a lot of our clients to other partners, things like that. And then we focused more on like being intrinsically involved with a lot of the clients that we work with. And so that was a really big inflection point where we actually, we brought the clients in and actually started coaching them, showing them more about like the back end of business. Because what we realized is the CPG industry is very difficult. So once we started transitioning, we decided that we really needed to, you know, take on that arm of being also their, not only their, essentially their coach, but also guiding them through the entire process as well. So we focused more on the relationship versus just the selling the service. And then I'd say a few other things is in the last year, even just AI. I mean, people like now AI is out there, everybody just like, oh, it's there. But you have ChatGPT-4 and it's basically having a whole number of employees for $20 a month. And
yeah.
people don't think about it that way. Like, AI is like here to stay and you should be using it every day. But that's the other thing, because it's changed our entire business. Ever since probably February last year, we've started using AI in everything. And the reason is just faster, more efficient. All of our employees
yeah.
are on ChatGPT. And so those would be two, like in the last 4 years, I would say those are like two major inflection points and transition
and so
points.
With the, I'm always curious to see if there's other use cases out there, particularly with ChatGPT. So I guess where I'm going with this is, you know, we all know like what kind of a time saver it can be, right?
Right.
From transitioning kind of mundane writing tasks into what used to maybe take hours into minutes or seconds. Are there any maybe unique ways that you're using ChatGPT, or is it pretty standard?
Yeah, there's many unique ways. So like, for example, the API is different in how you would interact with the ChatGPT model versus like if you're just using ChatGPT-4. And then also since about, I think it was like 3 months ago, they launched the where you can create the individual LLMs, language models. Mm-hmm. So you can actually train your own language models now to be like hyper specialized in core things by giving it like a bunch of context or like direction mm-hmm. in those models. And so like we, for example, train our models on like email copy and social media for brands and just like brands in general. So like it's transformed the way we do copywriting. Writing because we get the client, they send us a bunch of their copy, like, you know, what is your brand, what's your vision for it, all of these things. We plug it into a model, and now the model knows exactly what that brand is. We can generate anything for that brand content wise that we need, website content, social media, anything. And then we can refine it over time, and now the client has a model of their own brand that they can work with. Wow. So like that's just one example as well.
Yeah, that's very good. And then are there any other specific tactics or tools that you're using that help you in running your day-to-day?
Yeah, I'm all about efficiency and organization. So I rely heavily on like project management tools and CRM. I'll give you a quick example. Like my tech stack, for example, is Google Chrome. And I have like 17 different Chrome profiles, all with pinned tabs on each one. So like my Chrome is super organized. But then like understanding your tech stack is super important. I always tell people when they come into our program or when I'm like coaching them or when I'm just speaking with them, like always try to optimize yourself and then optimize your company and you'll be in a much better position. So I use like Google Workspace, Gmail, Monday, Basecamp, Go High Level for marketing, among other tools, various AI tools, development tools for the development department. I know I'm like on the back of my hand. Like, so it's like really important to know your tech stack, especially since most things like people do on a daily basis are online now. And it's just for efficiency and optimization of your daily schedule.
Mm-hmm. Very well put. And then how do you ensure that your business strategies remain customer centric? So, you know, explain to me like how that is played out in your company's growth.
Yeah, I touched on it a little bit earlier. So the core areas where we remain customer centric is where I mentioned we kind of downsized from offering just basic services to more of like an actual like all-encompassing solution. So like we decided to work more hand in hand with the clients versus like here's a service, you know, there's your KPI sheet for the week. Meet with you next week. Now we like meet with them. We build a like personal relationship with them. We really try and like, and that's why we also bring in like really good people that we resonate with, like, and they resonate with us as well. So that's how we make it more customer centric, and it's exploded our growth. I mean, we've like 3x'd our revenue in the last 2 years simply by like, even though we downsized the clientele, we get our actual lifetime value is much greater for the clients.
Yeah. That, it always seems to work out that way.
Right?
It may be scary in the beginning, but then it always kind of seems if you're doing good work, it always kind of come back and the universe will take care of you, I guess, in that regard.
Absolutely. It seems that way most of the time. Hopefully it works out that way.
Yeah. So are there any metrics that you use to measure success?
Yeah, there's a few metrics I measure. I mean, from my personal end, I just try and measure my success by like, am I getting closer to the goals? Like whether that's, you know, the weekly goals, the monthly goals, the like the whatever the annual goals that we set for the company, myself. So I always try and look at myself and my own metrics on that level. Company mm-hmm. metrics is different. I try, you know, we try to look at, you know, obviously all of the KPIs that are important, you know, response rates, all the sales metrics that you want to look at. But at the end of the day, I feel like the most important metric is, are you moving forward towards the goal? Whatever the goals are, I think that's the most important metric. I mean, because we've seen it where companies come in and they're stuck, you know, like they literally don't know what else to do. That's why they come to us and they're like, we don't know how to scale. We don't know how to like analyze this. And like, we've also had people come in and they're overspending on their product and their production. You know, like that's, it seems like it's not a metric for success, but it does. Their goal is to make certain type of revenue. And because of that, that overpayment that they're paying too much of on their products, at that point, they're not reaching their goal. So it's just about hitting, like my opinion, going every day to reach your goal, hitting and trying to hit those daily goals, weekly goals, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. Very well put. And how are you staying up on maybe latest trends and developments?
It's tough. I mean, don't get me wrong. In the CPG space, there's a lot of stuff changing all the time. But like, so I subscribe to various like category databases. So like energy drink news, you know,
okay.
Sports drink news, that kind of stuff. And I have like different LinkedIn communities that I'm a part of, like CPG LinkedIn communities, various things like that. And then I have like my news feed specifically geared towards the industry too. So I see like all the updates and the trends in the industry, things like that. And then also we have a tool I use for like actually like analyzing the trends of the industry, because we have various companies that we do that for. We'll actually see like monitor the trends for them, various like audience segments and things like that. So that's a little bit about how we stay up to date in the category and the space.
Yeah, that's great. And then any sort of partnerships or collaborations that you've formed or with your partners that you've formed over the last, you know, however many years that you point to that have helped your growth?
That's huge. That's a huge question. People often overlook partnerships and collaborations. I think it's one of the most important things. I'll give you an example. 2 years ago, when we did take over the incubation arm, we decided to scale through merger and acquisition. So Warren, my business partner, he decided he wanted to merge with a New York City distribution operation up there. And what that allowed us to do is we merged with them, yes, but it allowed us to do not only market validation, but actual distribution in one of the major hubs. So it allowed us to get a really good foothold, and we plan on scaling through different merger and acquisitions in that regard. But then partnerships and collaborations, it's ranging. So we have anywhere from, you know, different influencer contacts that we work with to different, you know, facilities that are co-packers, different formulators, broker networks for different distribution elements. So we rely heavily on partnerships and collaborations, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. That's great. And so you've been listening to the Sipping Success podcast. I'm your host, Casey Hawkinson, and Frank Borefsky, the CMO of Brand Vault 360. He's been our guest here for this episode. It's been a great conversation talking about his incubator accelerator, again, Brand Vault 360, where they work with and help scale all different types of CPG products. And to get back into it, we've got just a couple more questions left here. But this one is, you know, maybe a little bit more personal. What, you know, given the success that you're at right now, you know, what sort of advice would you maybe give your younger self or somebody kind of up and coming in your particular niche?
In our particular niche, what I would give my younger self or somebody coming up is just really understand what you're getting into and understand that there's a lot of moving parts in the space, and it's very capital intensive most of the time, like 95% of the time. So you have to really understand both business and financials in general. Most businesses, you have to understand that, but it's really imperative like you map out your like actual financials so that you know you're profitable before you even start making the product. A lot of the stuff we run into is like people, they make, you know, they spend 100K or 200K on a product run, and then this product sits in a warehouse and they can't sell the product, and now they're paying warehouse fees that they didn't plan on, and it just starts compounding over time, and a lot of hidden fees, things like that, that people really don't consider when they get into the space. So other than that, I would give some advice on like really understanding both like the company side of like each division. So like operations, understanding, like I mentioned, the financials, but also like understanding how you're going to do the marketing, understanding how you're going to raise the capital to finance your idea. Like these are all things that if I would have known, you know, 7-8 years ago, I'd be much, much better off. But yeah, sure. These are all very important things that most people overlook certain elements. And then like later on, they're hit with reality, and it's reality is often not friendly.
Yeah, there's no playbook for reality.
Nope.
You know, you just got to, like they say, you just got to fail fast and keep moving. Good advice there. And then, you know, a lot of our audience is very kind of entrepreneurial, and, you know, there always seems to be a lot of collaboration going amongst people that listen to the podcast. So if anybody wants to connect with you, or like maybe, you know, something that you said, you know, they might have a question about or want to inquire about partnering with you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, great question. There's a few different ways. You could reach out to me on LinkedIn. You can just Google me or on LinkedIn, or you can Google me, Frank Borevsky, and it'll pop up my LinkedIn. You can also reach out to me on my email. It's frank@brandvault360.com. You can also go to brandvault360.com and book a call with us. So those are a few ways you can reach out to us, and we'll get back in touch with you. And any questions that you might have about the industry or just potential partnerships, we'll be happy to entertain them.
Okay, great. And so again, to repeat, is brandvault360.com that you can go and check out. And then if you wanted to hit Frank's LinkedIn page, that's Frank, F-R-A-N-K, and then Borevsky, B-E-R-E-F-S-K-Y. You can just plug that into Google and see that Frank Borevsky will pop up, and you can check out his LinkedIn page. So, Frank, I want to thank you again for joining us and spending time with us and shedding light on your incubator accelerator. Sounds like a lot of exciting things going on. We'll be very excited to keep in touch with you. And thank you all for listening. And thanks again, Frank.
Excellent, Casey. Thank you to your audience for listening in onto the podcast today. And yeah, look forward in future collaboration with you. All right.
Awesome. And thank you all for listening to another episode of Sipping Success. I'm your host, Casey Hawkinson. Until next time.
And that's a wrap on another insightful episode of Sipping Success, brought to you by Mushroom Media. We hope our discussions have left you thirsting for more knowledge in the world of beverages and alcohol. Stay connected with us on social media for updates. And remember, the journey to success is best enjoyed one sip at a time. Keep exploring trends, connecting with leaders, and scaling your brand. Until our glasses meet again, cheers to your continued success, and may your cups always runneth over with inspiration. We'll catch you in the next episode.